He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. As always, you can reach us at kgvm.org or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. We will also have the Hawks football played on both of those as well. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up here shortly. But first, as always, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and drink specials. Catch all the preseason and college games coming up here in just a couple weeks. Located at 19 Ty Lane, phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgate continues. Lots to cover in this episode since I was gone last week, including Bobcats' name as starting quarterback. That was big news around the Valley. Men's and women's basketball schedules were released earlier this week, just the other day, and the Bozeman Bucks came oh so close to making it to the World Series. Very exciting. Great job by the Bucks. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But first, as always, we start with national news. We'll start in the NFL. And Antonio Brown is pretty much the only story of the NFL. He's also a moron. Three stories to prove it. The first one, Antonio Brown is still sitting out for the most of Raiders camp after he ended up with frostbite on both of his feet. He did this while on vacation in France and decided to get cryotherapy while there. Sounds like he didn't follow all the rules and didn't wear the proper shoes. His feet looked like flattened whoopee cushions, is I think how he described it. It was pretty gross if you ever watch Hard Knocks on the TVs. It looked like the entire bottom of his foot was peeling off. And the new skin, I guess, is better. But he's out with that. He's expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks of full camp. He is practicing every once in a while. But to get to full speed, it's going to be another, probably, since this happened, probably another week and a half to 2 weeks that he will be suffering with that. Story number two that proves Antonio Brown is a moron. He also is sitting out of practices until he was allowed to wear his old helmet, one that now is banned by the NFL because of safety issues. Now, remember, the NFL is doing this so there's no major safety concerns when it comes to concussions. They're trying to cut down on those, trying to look after the player's safety. And while a lot of players are up for that, including Tom Brady, who wore the same helmet in, I think, 4 or 5 of his Super Bowls that he won, but then they said that one's not allowed, so he switched. He said, yeah, it was kind of uncomfortable at first, but you do what you got to do, and you move on. Well, Antonio Brown's not that kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that doesn't wear the right shoes in cryogenic chambers and gets frostbite. He's also the kind of guy that sues the NFL over the issue, trying to demand that he can wear that helmet. He lost that, and so he put it out on social media looking for a different type of helmet. He said he would have a signed football helmet that he sent. Why can't you just buy your own or go to the Raiders and say, find me this one? Seems ridiculous that you're doing a media search for something like that, or a publicity, whatever they're called, social media type search on that. But he lost that, so the grueling came down. He still can't wear it. But he will now play. He said he would retire if he couldn't wear his old helmet. That came out not to be true, and so now he's going to wear a different helmet, but one that I guess he's okay with, and he can finally play. John Gruden's got to be over this. John Gruden's an old school kind of coach. He's not a player's coach from today's realm, kind of like the Lions coach, or not the Lions coach, he's a terrible coach. my poor Lions. But the Rams coach in that Sean McVay type thing, where he's a younger guy that's all go get him. John Gruden's not going to put up with this that long. And the final story that shows what a moron Antonio Brown is, the Oakland Raiders wide receiver is facing a civil lawsuit that alleges he stiffed a chef's bill of nearly $40,000 during the Pro Bowl festivities in 2018. Stefano Tijicki, who goes by the name The Sports Chef, filed a suit in Osceola County in Florida on July 30th, claiming the Brown's balance of $38,520 remains unpaid. Brown rented out an Orlando area mansion and hired the chef to prepare food for multiple days and a culinary show and other services for nearly 50 Pro Bowl teammates and many other party guests. The sports chef told ESPN in an interview on Wednesday, Brown wrongfully terminated the agreement and did not allow the chef to retrieve his equipment, food from the premises, and the lawsuit states. Antonio Brown associate told Iron Chef not to make eye contact with Brown on his way out, he told ESPN. The chef added that he never got an official reason for the lack of payment. He paid staff members through his own pocket and worked, furthermore, over working opportunities and cut all those down by committing to Brown. So he turned down a bunch of other options down at the Pro Bowl to cook for Brown, and then Brown stiffs him. He said, I've cooked for countless NFL stars and celebrities. He said, including Larry Fitzgerald, New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees, Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston, probably the backup by the end of this year, but nevertheless, never once have I ever had one problem until this. My food is good, is so good, and all my mannerisms in someone's home are second to none. Brown's attorney responded to the lawsuit saying, we expect to be filing a motion to dismiss the complaint, and we'll let the filing speak for itself. So good luck to the Raiders. You will need it with that handful. Sure, he's a great wide receiver, but there's got to come a time where you're just not going to put up with that crap anymore. That's just ridiculous. Another NFL news, former Bobcat and CFL Defensive Player of the Year, Alex Singleton, had the highest grade of all Philadelphia Eagles in the first game of the preseason. Singleton was credited for two tackles. I think it was actually three, but they credit him for two, and a forced fumble. He was credited in his run stopping and being able to shed blocks and force running backs to the correct side of the field. Singleton and the Eagles play their second preseason game tonight, so if you have a chance, make sure you check that out. Playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. So good luck to Alex. Also, my Lions got stomped by the Patriots in their first preseason game. They will take on and probably lose to the Texans Saturday at 6. So good luck to Alex. He's definitely proven himself. There was a lot of Twitter chatter, which is a big thing nowadays, about Singleton's play and how well he played and how fearless and reckless he played on special teams. We talked about it earlier. That's kind of where I think his niche is going to be to start with, is a special teams expert and then being able to show himself what he can do as a linebacker if he gets plugged in there, kind of like Dane Fletcher did as well. So good luck to Alex. Make sure you check out the game if you can and root for number 49. On to golf news. Patrick Reed cheated his way to win at the Northern Trust in New York. He didn't actually cheat, but he's known for it. Defeating Harold Varner III by 2 strokes, Reed finished at 16 under. Reed was kicked off of his college team and his high school team for cheating and is kind of a jerk store. So hopefully he doesn't do well this week, because I always root for the guys that you seem to like and seem to have some presence to them. The second leg of the FedEx Cup playoff tees off in Medina, Illinois. It actually teed off this morning at the BMW Championship. Currently, as we speak right now, Jim Furyk and Adam Scott are tied for the lead at 6 under. Furyk is done for the day, and Scott is through 14. Rory Sabatini is at minus 5 through 17, along as Tony Finau is also at minus 5. Some of the other notables, Phil Mickelson at minus 2, and he is done for the day. Rory McIlroy is at minus 2 through 13. Tiger Woods at minus 2 through 8. Tiger Woods pulled out of last week's tournament because of back injuries. He's struggling trying to get his back going for all these tournaments. It's a long year in the PGA, and Woods doesn't play a lot of events because he doesn't have to. And so he's just getting back into it today. Again, minus 2 through 8. Ricky Fowler is minus 1 through 5. Brooks Koepka, the leader in the FedEx Cup points, is at even through 13. And Dustin Johnson is at plus 2, tied for 69th right now at through 4 at 2 over. Finally, in our, I guess, national news, I watched the show, and I want to talk about it, and it's my show, so I can. If you haven't watched the Netflix series QB1, at least give season 1 a watch. Season 2 kind of drug on a little bit, and there's season 3's coming out, so there's only 2 seasons. But the first one was really, really good. Had 2 of the top, or 3 of the top high school senior quarterbacks going into their senior year. One of them, Jake Fromm, who is at Georgia. The other one is a young kid from Pennsylvania. So for no other reason than they have different lives and they come from different states and different upbringings, it's a great show to watch. Season 1 focuses on 3 quarterbacks, like I said, one from Pennsylvania, one from Georgia, and the other from Las Vegas, Nevada. QB from Pennsylvania is now a backup at Wake Forest. He lost his dad at an early age, and his family does everything they can to keep him at the private school to help him flourish. You can tell through the series that he really struggles with not being with his old friends at his old school, but it's better that he's at a private school so he can get more attention and maybe a better team there. But you can see the dynamic there, and it plays out greatly. The other quarterback, like we said, Fromm, is from Georgia. He will most likely be a top 10 draft pick next year in the NFL. It looks like Fromm, Tua out of Alabama, and Herbert, who the Cats almost had, out of Oregon, as the top three quarterbacks going in, all of them expected to go in the top 10, if not the top 5. And Fromm grew up with privilege, you can tell that, but he also has an attitude of being humble and thankful for everything he had. And it really shows when he's crying on the sidelines at the end of it, when he lost his last game in the playoffs. His family drops him off at his dorm room and all that kind of stuff. It really shows well to him and how humble and aw shucks he kind of is. Then there's the quarterback from Nevada. And the reason why I started watching this show is because I heard a little bit about this quarterback this last week. You may have heard of him from the news lately. This kid is the most spoiled and arrogant and self-entitled kid I have ever seen. Now, it's an 18-year-old kid, and I get it. You're in high school. You don't really know how to act. But I think his parents are even the worst type of parents for a kid like this. They give him everything. Sure, they're a very rich family. They live in Sumlin, I think is what it's called, Nevada. He goes to... I think it's Bishop Grohman down there. It was the number one high school team in the country last year. At one point, they're talking about him and the other captains are talking about the team coming up. He said, well, they've said some things on Twitter about that they're going to beat us and everything else. Well, every team does that and every player does that. So they decide they're just not going to shake hands to start the game. When they say go ahead and shake hands, they're all going to shake each other's hands and do these gestures and all this stuff and jump off the field while the other team's kind of stand there like, really, guys? It sets a bad precedence, and it kind of sets up the whole season of that. At one point towards the end of it, and so he's considered at the time, his parents are telling him, you realize that you're the best high school football player ever to play. You're the best ever in high school. I don't think he's that good. I think Fromm was better. From the stats and everything else, but that's the way he was raised. At one point, he gets a car, and he's had it for a week, and his mom goes shopping, and he says, well, I don't want that car. I want this other Camaro instead. His dad's like, no, you're not getting that, and he's like, well, I'm gonna, and I'm gonna talk you into it, and I'm getting it by the end of the week or two, and at the end of the series, you see him driving that car. So obviously, he got the brand new car, so good for him, I guess, but his attitude and everything else kind of stunk in the show, and then it continued on. So at one point, an Ohio State coach, so he signed up for Ohio State to play football. At one point, an Ohio State coach comes in and says, how are your grades doing in your senior year? He says, well, I have office as a class, which is he files papers in the office for kids that are late. He said, mainly it's me that's late anyways. I'm late to every one of my classes. His mom kind of jokes about it and says, yeah, well, you know, if they would only start school 10 minutes later, he'd be there on time. He also has film class and all that. The coach said, well, you can't be late once you get to Ohio State. You don't have 20 minutes to get ready. You've got 4 minutes to get in there from the time that it's at 10 o'clock is practice or whatever time. You've got till 10:04 to get your pads on and get ready and get out there. The parents then look over, and mainly the mom. The dad kind of looked odd, like, oh, man, this could be trouble. The mom said, well, can't you just tell the coach to start practice later or give him more time? That seems ridiculous. My son's not going to be able to do that. Ohio State coach basically said, I don't really care about if your son can't do that. The rest of the players on the team will. And if you think the coach is going to put up with that, you might be at the school for about a week. Well, it turns out he was there for a year. Didn't like it. Didn't get along with the coach. Didn't get along with another player that was coming in. And tweeted about how you think one punch is bad. Wait till you get the second one, talking about how the other kid got cut from another team, and so then he's coming to Ohio State, and there's no way he's going to start. Well, the kid ended up starting over him. So this kid, his name is Tate Martell. I'm sure everyone's heard about it. His actual name is Tathan, which is just number one clue of being a jerk store is the name Tathan. He goes to Ohio State, gets in trouble and everything else, and then he transfers out. He's like, I'm leaving. I want to go somewhere where I can play. So he transfers to the University of Miami. Now, I have no problem with kids transferring out of schools. Cats get a lot of them for that because of playing time or whatever else. But OSU about not being as good as you and then lose the starting job and pack up your bags and leave instead of fighting for that and everything else. He didn't even want to participate. The other player came in and he said, I'm out of here. That's not a good look for him. Well, he transferred to the University of Miami where he could play. Just came out this past Monday. They had their first scrimmage last Saturday. He's not going to be the starter. In fact, he's not even going to be third stringer for Miami. He threw a hissy fit. There's pictures out there that he ripped his nameplate. They have this huge placard that's kind of a TV type thing that shows your face and everything next to your lockers. They're really nice lockers in these bigger schools. Check out LSU's new one. He ripped that off the wall and smashed it on the ground. Left the practice field, didn't practice the next day, didn't talk to his coach or anything, just didn't show up to practice. And the rumors are big that he'll transfer again. He did come back the day after that, talked to the coaches. The coaches said, hey, he's all for it. But that's not a good look. And so far, as one kid is now going to be a top 10 NFL pick, the other one is just spiraling because he can't handle the pressure and being told he was so great his entire life and no humility. It is really detriment to that. And I look at the parents somewhat to that, helicopter parents that will give him everything, tell him how great he is, tell the coaches, well, my kid, you know, is going to be late or whatever. And he even said in the interview with the Ohio State coach in the episode, they said, well, what do your coaches say about that? And he said, well, I'm the number one player in the country. The coaches don't really say anything to me. That's a terrible attitude to have, especially when you go to that next level. Ohio State has the best players and Miami and Michigan and all these. They have the top players in the country every year. You're nothing special when you get there, no matter how good you are. You need to prove yourself. And he can't, and so he left. My guess is he's going to end up transferring to back home to UNLV pretty soon, live with his parents in wealth and privilege, and he'll do his own thing and end up being a broadcaster for the SEC network like everybody else does. So that's just my little rant on that. We're going to take a quick break right now and come back and look at the Bozeman Bucks baseball, a glance at Belgrade Panthers football schedule as they start their first year at AA. Once again, you can reach us at kgvm.org at 95.9 FM on the radio dials or IanLaird3 on the Twitter. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at KGVM.org, 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or, of course, IanLaird3 on the Twitters. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, located in 19 Ty Lane. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgate continues. Before we get in, and of course that was big time, into Belgrade football and how they're moving up to big time. Another big time team played this last weekend, and that is the Bozeman Bucks. It was a great run for the Bucks, but it came to an end with a 10-inning loss to Idaho Falls last Sunday night, 5-1 in Lewiston, Idaho. Bucks won their first three games of the tournament against Washington, Oregon, and Wyoming before losing to Idaho Falls in the final two games of the tournament. It was the end of a long season for the Bucks. Had a handful of things to be proud of, though. They won their first state title since 2007. They came within one game of the American Legion World Series. They had two chances to win it, just could not pull it off. Idaho Falls is a very, very good team. And they have a never-say-die attitude that they've carried into the 2020 as they look to improve their finish next year, which will be tough to do. They're probably the farthest the Bucks have ever gotten. Bozeman or a Montana team, I don't think, has ever made it to the actual World Series. I could be wrong on that, but I read it somewhere. Bucks pitcher Hunter Williams was named the All-State team earlier this week as well. So congratulations to Hunter. Congratulations to the Bozeman Bucks on an amazing season. And on a personal note, I think we have to talk about how terrible I was at baseball in the past. I got hit by the very first pitch that was ever thrown at me. I then ducked out of the way. Every pitch after that, there were strikes. I was in the outfield and I missed a pop fly and it hit me in the face. And then I walked in 9 runs, all in one game, mind you. And that was pretty much the end of my baseball career. So I'm not a huge baseball fan. But this past week and in the last couple weeks with the Bucks running this, I listen to every single game right here on KGVM. I watch the ones, some of them were on the interwebs, and so I watched some of those. And my phone was blowing up with everyone that I know around Bozeman texting me, hey, what's the score? Hey, I can't get to a radio right now or whatever it is. Can you let me know what the score is? Everyone was texting me and was excited, asking for updates and how they were doing every day. This team brought a ton of interest to Bozeman Bucks baseball and pride to the Bozeman community. And that, more than wins or losses, is really what's important. Sure, wins and losses are important. If you're not first, you're last. We all get that. But the fact that this town really rallied it with them and for them was great to see. They almost pulled it off. It would have been a huge story around Montana as well. But congratulations to the Bucks. You really brought Bozeman together with class and dignity. Even in victory or defeat, you played with class and dignity. Maybe something that Tate Martell should be paying attention to a little bit more, and a lot of other people out there should be looking at. So congratulations to the Bucks. It was a great run. They should hold their heads very high for this one. We're all very, very proud of them here on KGVM and, of course, all around Bozeman. Moving on to Belgrade sports. For the next year, as we said, the Belgrade Panthers will be competing at the AA level for the first time ever. And I don't think that they will struggle when it comes to softball or volleyball. They're pretty dominant at those, and they beat some very good AA teams. I do think, though, that they will have their hands full when it comes to football, the football playing in the next year. So let's just take a quick look at who they play next year as they move up again for the first time in AA. First thing that jumps out at me, kind of like the Hawks, the Panthers only have 3 away games. So that's going to be a huge thing. So here's their schedule. They start the year on the 30th, 7 o'clock in Butte. So they play the Butte High Bulldogs. They come home for a pair. First on the 6th against the Helena High Bengals, a very good team. 13th, they play CMR at home. That'll be interesting to see. I think there are some A teams that run that kind of triple option like CMR does. CMR is always a very big physical team. So by the third game, luckily they don't play them later in the season, but we'll kind of see how they do there against that. Billings Senior, they play at Billings Senior on the 27th. That game again at 7 o'clock. All the games are then. They then come home to play Great Falls High Bison, a team that struggled in the past but has some decent players. They hit the juggernaut that is probably the last year of the juggernaut of Bozeman. That game is in Bozeman on the 11th, so that'll turn into be a huge little valley rivalry coming up in the future. They then play Billings West and Skyview at home to wrap up the year. So really their at Bozeman isn't that much of an away game, even though it's in Bozeman. So 3 away games. I look at the schedule, I think Butte, you know, they're kind of up and down most of the years. Helena High and Billings West are 2 very good programs, but both of those games are at home, so that might give them a slight, not advantage, but a better chance to maybe pull off the upset. Of the away games, Butte, again, is always hard to judge. They are either really good or really bad. Not much middle ground there. The Gray, their coach, has really picked up that program, though. They've got a great quarterback that signed with the Cats. That's more of an athlete. He's very fast, very skilled. So that'll be an interesting opening game kind of to judge and for them to judge how fast it really is at this level. Billings Senior on the road, but they've lost a ton of talent in the last couple of years. A lot of them coming to the Cats or the Grizz. They've probably got 3 starters on each team right now from the last 2 years. So Belgrade could be hitting them at the right time, but Senior seems to load up every once in a while as well. Bozeman will be the toughest game, I think, in their schedule, along with Billings West, I think. I just don't see them hanging around with the Hawks this year. Now, next year, when there's 2 AA schools in Bozeman, I think it's a whole different story. I think Bozeman's really going to struggle, and that's when Belgrade could really pounce on that momentum and everything else going into the next couple years. I think that they could win 3 or 4 games next year. I think if they won 3 to 4, they should be really happy with their season. Again, it's not a winning record, but if you can get to even or maybe just a game or two below even on the record, I think for your first year in AA and a long season and at that grind of bigger kids and bigger schools and more talent that you're going to see. Now, the kids are kind of all the same all over the place, and I know people get angry when they say, well, you know, A schools are just as good as AA and B and C and all those. I get it. But when you have 2,800 kids to pick from, a team of 70 or how many ever on a high school football team, you can be picky, and there's a lot more talent to choose from. In Belgrade, they've got a smaller school. They're going to be the smallest AA school in the state until Bozeman splits. Then it's going to be probably even with the three of them. So it'll be very interesting to see how they play against these teams. I can see them struggling every game. I think they're going to pull off a couple. I can see them losing, so you never know. But I think if they can get to three or four wins, that should be really good for them, and they should be really happy about that. So we'll see how it goes. Good luck to Belgrade. It'll be really interesting to see how they progress throughout the year, if they wear down at all, or if they get better and say, like, hey, we can play with these guys. You never know. If they can win that first game at Butte, it could be off to a very, very good season. We'll take another quick break, come back with a look at MSU basketball's schedule, along with a breakdown of the QB decision at MSU. Of course, everyone's talking about that this week. And how good can this defense really be for the Cats? Once again, you can reach us at kgvm.org, 95.9 FM on the radio dial, or on the Twitters at IanLaird3. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. A little basketball Jones to kick off our look at the basketball schedules for the men's and women's Bobcats team. First, though, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at kgvm.org or 95.9 FM on the radio dial, plus on the Twitters at IanLaird3 as well. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you every week by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and drink specials, catch all the preseason college games, located at 19 Ty Lane. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Before we get into the football scrimmage, of course, and the quarterback decision, let's take a quick look at the basketball non-conference schedules for the boys and the girls. First, for the boys, some good games coming up. Yellowstone Christian, the exhibition game, starts off the season, so not that great one there. But after that, they go to at Utah State. They also go to UNC Greensboro for the UNC Greensboro Holiday Tournament. That's November 15th through the 17th. They are at Grand Canyon. If you haven't seen Grand Canyon, that's an amazing place. They come home and they play Colorado Christian. They play Green Bay at home. That's a great game. They play South Dakota State at home. South Dakota State made it to the second round, I believe, of the NCAA tournament. They're a very, very good team. They also play at North Dakota State. They also made the NCAA tournament. So did Cal State Bakersfield, the last team they play in non-conference, on December 19th. So if you look at it, I think at Utah State it's going to be a tough game. But they play at Grand Canyon. I don't really know if that's a win or loss. Colorado Christian should be a win. Green Bay is going to be tough. We've played them the last couple years. It's familiar to them, but they're always a good school. South Dakota State, kind of a regional rival now that we've played them in football and basketball the last couple years. A very, very good team coming off a very impressive season last year, as is North Dakota State. Of course, everyone knows North Dakota State for their football, but they're also very good at men's basketball as well. We have to travel for that one. And then at Cal State Bakersfield, another very, very tough game. Kind of surprised Fullerton's not in there, just because Sprinkle used to coach there. But Sprinkle trying to get some energy back, and I think some of these games, your South Dakota State games, your Green Bay game, can bring some of those folks back in to the stadium and kind of get it attendance back up like it used to be when he played there way back in the day. So that's kind of the goal. I don't know how great the Cats are going to be this year. A lot of new players getting into the mix. We lost Hall, the top shooter ever for the Cats. We do have Frey coming back. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think we have a very, very good young team. I don't know if we have the size and strength yet to compete all the way through the Big Sky, but this will be a good test. And I think a lot of those teams are going to be better than most of the Big Sky teams we play. So that always helps going into it. For the girls, they are gunning for the top with this schedule. It is very tough. Games on both home and on the road. They open up at home against Northwest Nazarene. Again, that's an exhibition game. Cats should do that one well. They play UC Davis, who made it into the tournament last year at home. They play Carroll at home, MSU Northern. So both those games, Montana teams, shouldn't be that great. Then they go on the road for three, South Dakota State. They are playing as well on the road. They play at University of Minnesota, a great team that made it. I think either South Dakota State or University of Minnesota made it to the Sweet 16 last year. Seattle University is no slouch over there. That's a road game. Then they come home. This is the big one. They play Gonzaga at home. That is a huge get. They're a top probably 10 to 15 team next year, and they're coming to play at MSU. That is a big draw for the Cats, and one that I think definitely everybody should be looking at for next year. And one that we should all go to. So make sure you get tickets to that. Then they travel to a tough schedule. I think Texas Tech is playing in this. Wichita State is in it. The Puerto Rico Classic down in Puerto Rico. That's the 18th through the 22nd of December. Some very, very good teams there. They play Wichita State to start, and then it's Texas A&M after that. That wraps up kind of their non-conference schedule. So those are going to be very, very tough teams and tough games to play for the Cats. But they are definitely going to. They will not play anyone in the Big Sky as good as Gonzaga, probably Texas A&M. You'd be hard-pressed to think University of Minnesota or South Dakota State, either any of those teams better, are all better than anybody the Cats will face once they get into conference play. So that's kind of how you want to set this up. They've got that Gonzaga game at home. It's going to be huge. I don't think it's winnable, but you never know. Let's get out there and support them. If it's loud and raucous, maybe the girls can pull it off. They lost some key players from last year, but they just reload. This ladies' team is very, very impressive. Coach Binford has done an amazing job of recruiting. Lost some players again to nutrition or whatever it might be, or attrition, I should say, not nutrition. They're all eating fine. To attrition and everything else. That happens to every program. She is loaded up, though. Squires coming back next year should be a huge benefit for the Cats there. So the Lady Cats should be very, very good next year. But some of those non-conference games are going to be really, really tough. But hopefully it'll prepare them for a Big Sky schedule. Montana should be better next year. They're still losing players like crazy over there. I think they've got some coaching issues, but none of that has really come out yet. Or talked about too much, but there's something going on over there where they're losing players left and right as well. But they should be a little better next year if they can just stay healthy. Your Weber States are always going to be good down low. Eastern Washington's always a decent team. Idaho State's struggled in the past, but there should be some good teams. Sacramento State's always right up there. Weber, of course, like we said earlier, is always good. So the Cats should be in good shape once they hit conference play. In never seeing any team that's like, wow, we haven't played a team to this caliber yet this year. They've played about five of them. We'll take another quick break right here, and it'll be a very quick one because we have to come back and a lot to talk about after this, including the dog days of fall camp, the quarterback position, how that's going to play out and everything else. Also, the Cats held their first scrimmage and what is coming up for them when it comes to Texas Tech and all that kind of stuff as well. So we'll take another quick break. Once again, you can reach us at IanLaird3 on the Twitters, 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or KGVM.org on the interwebs. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. At IanLaird3 on the Twitters, 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or KGVM.org on the interwebs. I know that song was about baseball, but it has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about next, and that is Put Me In, Coach. It is finally official who is going to be the starting quarterback for the Bobcats. Before that, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. Countless TVs and specials. Catch all the preseason college games located at 19 Ty Lane. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgate continues. So we're in the dog days of Bobcat football camp. Only 2 weeks till the first game. I can't believe it's only 2 weeks away. And the first scrimmage was held last weekend with a lot riding on who's going to be the quarterback. What's going to be the quarterback position going in? Well, it only took about 2 days to decide QB1 spot. And it ends up being Casey Bowman being tabbed as the starting QB going into the season. While Choate said that it was a super tight race, and either one of them was a great choice, it seemed to come down to leadership in the huddle from his press conference and confidence from fellow offensive players. They all said they were confident in both, But Bowman just seemed like, from everything I've heard, to command the huddle a little better and do that. So the Bowman, the 6'7", 248-pound redshirt freshman with a cannon rocket laser for an arm, all of the superfluities there. He's from Summit, Washington. The level he played at in high school would probably be compared to the Class B in the size of school-wise. So the growing curve was big coming into him last year. That's why he redshirted. But he really impressed offensive coordinator Miller. He said that all throughout the summer, he'd come into his office, hey, coach, can we look at this? Can we work on cadences? Can we work on this kind of stuff? Wore him out is what Miller said, basically. But he learned a lot. And it kind of grasped a plan early in summer workouts and personal workouts. And then once he came into fall camp, he was right there with Rovig. I think Rovig was going in, I thought, would be the starter. I thought for sure Tucker would come in. He hurt his ankle, broke his foot last year, so there was that. But I really thought he would come in. Choate mentioned that three or four Big Sky teams, by the way, have made the playoffs last year. Three of the four all went with two quarterbacks throughout the season, including the Cats. Remember, Trey Anderson was our quarterback. Then he got hurt. Rovic came in, started two games, did really well in the second one against Wagner, was penciled in to start against Eastern Washington, or was it Idaho? I think it was Eastern Washington. But anyways, broke his foot or got it stepped on or whatever it was in practice that week. Anderson came back in, and the rest is history from there. But Rovic was going to start last year, so it's somewhat of a surprise to me that he's not there. But congratulations to Casey for stepping up. I do think that Rovic is not out of it. It's a long season, and I really think he's going to push hard. I think we'll see him in the Texas Tech game and hopefully against some non-conference teams that the Cats will build big leads on, and then Rovic can come in and kind of shut it down. But show what he can do. All that I've seen, but it's good to have a starter named, I guess. Everything that everybody's seen, it was up in the air, like we said. But it's good to get that done, and you've got a couple weeks where you're the number one. You're going to take reps with the number one receivers, number one offensive line, your quarterbacks. Get that number one group learned and get them focused and on the same page. Rovo could be with number twos. He'll sub in and out with number ones as well, of course, because that's what they all do. But I think it's a very good thing that they named it this early, and I think you just go. If it's a gut feeling, you go with your gut. If it doesn't work out, you're going to have two or three games there at the beginning of the season that are very tough. Texas Tech's not one that we're going to win. I'm sorry, folks, but I just don't see us going to Texas Tech and winning that game. Now you come home, Gold Rush at night, Saturday night game on the 7th. All the adrenaline is pumping and everything else. You've got Southeast Missouri State coming in. Or South Missouri, they're a very, very good team. They made the playoffs last year. So you got that at home. Get those bugs worked out, and you're in front of your home crowd, so you're not nervous about being on the road. Then you go to a Western Illinois team, which I think is not going to be as good as they were last year or the year before. They've lost a ton of players as well. So I think that's kind of a step down. So you could win those two games, even if you lose one of the two. But that'll tell us exactly where we're at. After those first three games at quarterback and everything else, because those are three decent teams. They're at least top-tier FCS or FBS teams. So from there, then the conference schedule is pretty weak, to be honest. We don't play Eastern. We don't play Weber. We play UC Davis is really the only tough game. You can count the Grizz as tough, but until they can win more than six games and beat us for once, I don't look at that as a tough game, especially at home. And that's at the end of the year, so you've got tons of time till then. So I think it's good that they named him. I wish him all the best from his throws. He throws harder than anybody we've seen in a long, long time. Harder than Lule, harder than McGee, harder than Prukop. And remember, those are the quarterbacks that we used to have coming up, was huge quarterbacks like that, big-time good quarterbacks. So we've been kind of spoiled in this. So hopefully Bowman can continue on with that. Like I said, the schedule or the practice was just this last year's scrimmage. This last Saturday, Ifanse ran for 44 yards and three touchdowns. He's going to be a stud. DeMarcus Hossie, a true freshman, ran for 25 yards on three carries. Johnson with 19 yards passing. Now, this is a little concerning. Now, again, the Cats have one of the best defenses in the country. So take this as you will, I guess. But Bowman went 6 for 11 for 77 yards, 2 interceptions and 1 touchdown. Rovig went 3 for 7 for 14 yards. And there, I think, is the difference, is that Bowman can at least get the ball downfield a little better than Rovig can at this point. Ruben Beltran, the third string guy that could move up, he's kind of a dark horse here, but he went 3 for 3 for 42 yards. Some people said he looked really, really well. Kevin Cassis had 5 catches for 45 yards, 43 yards in 2 catches for Travis Johnson, and Steele Coy had 1 catch for 30 yards. That pretty much wrapped up those. Greg Filer had an interception along with Jaquay Allen and Ty Okada, so 3 interceptions there. Breakups, we had a couple of them. Nolan Ackleson had a tackle for loss, so good for him coming in out of Billings Senior, and 1 forced fumble by Eric Zambrano. So you look at that defense, and again, a lot of people are saying this is probably one of the best defenses they've ever seen. Now, that's on paper, and it's against Cats offense that struggles at times, but it's still good to know when you've got Allen and Conco back there, I don't see a secondary better, especially not safety position, better that we're going to face in the Big Sky, if not the country. Jaquay Allen got snubbed again in the things of top draft picks from small schools. Conkle was on there. Good for him. Sterk was on there. Good for him. Cassis was on there. Good for him. Good for those three. But how Jaquay Allen isn't talked about as being an NFL caliber safety, I have no clue. He's done everything he can here to prove that. And I think he's going to do it this year. And hopefully he plays with a chip on his shoulder because of that. Well, that'll pretty much do it for our show today. Thank you very much for listening. Once again, you can go to our website, kgvm.org, donate towards the Bobcats if you want to be a sponsor for Bobcat or Bobcat Hawk football. Bozeman Hawk football will be broadcast here on KGVM this next year. If you want to help support that or do anything you can there, please take a look and see what you can do. It's on kgvm.org. Sponsor if you're a business, sponsor a year. The rates are all up there and everything else. Once again, thank you very much. This has been the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.